Welcome back to Slay Away, the podcast where we discuss the inspiration behind your favorite horror films, lore, gore, and every kill in between. I'm your host, E.L. King. It's been an exciting month on Slay Away. We've been celebrating women in horror with a series of interviews with women filmmakers, authors, content creators, and more. So settle around by the campfire. We're going to be chatting with more amazing women in horror. My next guest is horror author and publisher Janine Pipe. She was influenced by the works of Stephen King from a young age. She likes to shock her readers and loves monsters. Janine is an author, book reviewer, podcaster, and a true horror fan. Janine, welcome to Slay Away. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to chat about your work in the horror space.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to talk to you as well.
Great. Well, first, I just want to jump in and see if you can tell us a little more about, you know, who you are and your role within the horror community.
Of course. So my name's Janine Pipe and I live in the UK, and I'm a writer, a reviewer, a podcaster, booktuber, and a press agent for Candisha Press.
Awesome. Can you tell me more about some of your current projects that you're working on? Anything upcoming? I know that you were part of a horror anthology that was all, I believe, short horror stories from female authors. And volume 2 is out. And you had mentioned to me that volume 3 is just coming out. I'm curious how we can find it and what to expect.
Of course. So review-wise, I review for Scream Magazine and as part of Nightworms. And then I am also a writer. And as you say, the latest of the Candisha anthologies, which is called The One That Got Away, has just been released. We brought that out on the 1st of February in conjunction with Women in Horror Month. And that's available from all your usual kind of book-selling places, Amazon and Book Hub, that kind of thing. And it is. It's 30 stories written by 30 different women from all across the world. And it's their interpretation of the title of The One That Got Away. That's all that we're ever told, just what the name of the book is going to be. And then you just let your mind go to whichever place you want.
Oh, that's really, 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 really cool. Obviously, I want folks to actually go out and grab the anthology if they can. I know I did see that it was available on Amazon already because I had recently picked up volume 2 for myself to read. Can you tell us, I don't know if we can ask a little bit about what your interpretation of that title was without giving too much away before people read the story.
I can talk about my story. So that as soon as I heard the title, one of my favorite subgenres are cryptids and creature features, that kind of thing. I absolutely love anything like that. And just The One That Got Away, the thing that immediately sprang to my mind was that it was going to be a couple of guys who go on a camping trip out in the woods and things go horribly wrong. That's about as much as I can say without giving too much away. But let's just say that it follows all the tropes and cliches, and they meet their match in a nice cave, and they meet some rather nice creatures there.
I pretty much love any horror story that takes place out in the wilderness, because I think it's really, you already get into this survivalist mindset. And I absolutely love creature features. And as far as horror films go, like movie monsters and things like that, that's what initially got me into horror. I'm curious, how did you discover your love of horror?
It was my dad from a very, very young age. And we're talking like 3 or 4 years old when I would sit on his lap and he would tell me stories. It was always local legends and ghost stories and all that kind of thing. I grew up in a town called Yeovil in a place called Somerset. And we've got a lot of history there. There's a lot of Arthurian legends. And of course, being Britain, you know, it's very old and all that kind of stuff. So there was always a ghost story or a witch that was hung in the woods, all those kind of things. So I grew up being told all of that kind of stuff. And then hand in hand with that, I always wanted to be a police officer, even from like when I was in kindergarten and the teachers would say, oh, and what would you like to do? I was always, I want to be a cop. So we always watched a lot of crime programs and things like that. And of course, true crime and horror kind of go hand in hand anyway. And then as I got a little bit older, we didn't have Goosebumps and that kind of thing here when I was very young. But as I got into my teenage years, I just discovered all the things like point horror. And I progressed very quickly from point horror to Stephen King and all that kind of stuff. So it was a kind of a typical way in, really. And my dad used to let me watch things I probably shouldn't have really watched at that age. But I can remember one of the very first films I watched was Fright Night when I was about 9 or 10. And I think a lot of it probably went straight over my head. But I just knew there was something that was fun about being scared. And it kind of progressed from there, really.
I really love your horror origin story. I know. So with Fright Night, I'm curious because of, the vampire aspect of that. Did that kind of also get you into creatures and looking more into that sort of like, lore and stuff like that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Aside from point horrors and things like that, the first proper horror book that I read was Salem's Lot. So I've always had an affinity with vampires and that kind of thing. Always been really interested in Dracula and sort of like Vlad the Impaler and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but then my kind of my love of creatures goes more to the like the Yetis and Bigfoot and then some of the really quite unusual like Sasquatch and Batsquatch and Jersey Devil and all that kind of stuff. I love them. They're fantastic.
I think I'm probably I'm really fascinated with Mothman.
Yes, Mothman's a brilliant one.
And the legend around Mothman. I try and watch and read everything I can find about Mothman. And then I know I had played a horror, well, not exactly a horror game, but Fallout 76 features very heavily Mothman because it's set in the Appalachian Mountains. So it's super interesting stuff. I'm curious, do you have anything like a favorite true crime show or novelist or anything like that that you're particularly interested in? I know true crime growing up for me was something that I really, really loved to the point where when I was in high school, my English teacher, I took an elective where you would read books and write papers. So they created a secondary elective for me because I already had done the elective once and it was all true crime. So I'm curious, who's your favorite true crime author?
Sort of author wise, I'm desperately trying to think. It was more TV shows really that I probably grew up watching, and we had particular ones like called Crime Watch and things, which would actually be a bit like I'm trying to think of likening it to an American show, but like your FBI Most Wanted kind of shows, that kind of thing. True crime writers. I have read quite a few about British serial killers and whatnot, but I can't. You've put me on the spot now. I can't think of it.
Yeah, if there's not a particular writer, that's totally fine. I know that there's a lot of true crime writers that are more like true crime fiction writers as well. So, if you were a Stephen King fan, I'm curious, are there any other horror writers that you're particularly interested in?
Horror writer wise, as I said, I grew up with all of the usual Kings and Coates and all that, you know, your Clive Barkers and all the sort of the big names. But as I have got more and more into the genre, and especially writing wise, I read an awful lot of indie authors now. My favorite writers would be people like Hunter Shea and Glenn Rolfe, and Hunter in particular, his speciality is creature features, and his latest one that he released last year called Misfits is all about the Melonheads. And I think, again, being British, reading about some of the, because you guys, you've got the best cryptids we've had, apart from Nessie, we haven't got much over here really, but you have so many different cryptids and creatures in all of your states, and the Melonheads are a really quite fascinating story, so I like anything like that. And Glenn's done a couple of his latest one, Until Summer Comes Around, was a 80s vampire story, very kind of Lost Boys-esque, and that was absolutely fantastic as well. One of my other favorites alongside with that subgenres would be anything to do with werewolves. Absolutely love werewolves. They are my all-time favorite creature, favorite monster.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Lost Boys, so I definitely want to check that novelist out that you mentioned, because I have not read anything from them before. But werewolves also, I absolutely adore. I mean, I'm just big into creatures. So I love anything to do with werewolves. Do you have, as far as horror films go, are you a big horror film watcher, and do you have a favorite werewolf horror film? Because I feel like we used to get quite a few werewolf horror films, but now we haven't had a lot of them more recently, and especially good ones.
Yes, so I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to werewolf movies, and I like my werewolves to be wolves. And so which sounds really ridiculous, but I know that, you know, for originality and whatnot, there's a lot of different interpretations of what a werewolf looks like and that kind of thing, and I'm looking at you, Were, because I don't fully believe that person was a werewolf. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but my favorite werewolf movie in the whole world, and I've watched it so many times, I just adore it, is Dog Soldiers. Absolutely love that movie.
Yes, I love that. Well, I wanted to kind of jump into a question to ask, you know, who are some of your favorite women in horror? Do you have anyone who particularly inspires you, whether it's a filmmaker, director, writer?
Yeah, so I have to give a special mention to a couple of my good friends who are female horror writers as well. Jill Girardi is also the brains behind Candisha. So she is the owner and the editor of Candisha Press, but she's also an amazing writer. And she lived in Malaysia for a while, so she kind of uses that setting and background for her stories, which adds kind of a bit of mysticism to them. And my good friend Lou Yardley as well. She likes a lot of body horror in hers and whatnot. And then also Kenzie Jennings, she's an extreme writer. She likes a bit of splatterpunk. CJ Tudor and JH Moincroft are my favourite female horror writers. And then from the movies and TV, I absolutely love Sydney Prescott from Scream. I think she's one of my favourite characters. I grew up loving Buffy and Scully from the X-Files. They were two sort of big inspirations for me. And alongside that also, Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs. Again, sort of always wanting to be in the police and whatnot, even though I was British, I would have loved to have been in the FBI. I think that's from watching the X-Files and things like that. But Clarice was another kind of role model. And then my most favourite kind of movie that's very strong on women is The Descent. And obviously I've got a bit of a thing for Neil Marshall films, because he did Dog Soldiers as well. But The Descent is just probably one of the creepiest films I've ever seen as well, because I'm very claustrophobic. So all that bit when they're in the caves and they're crawling through, but super, super strong female cast, and none of the kind of tropes that you rely on the big busty female as the sidekick and whatnot. All of the women in The Descent are full-on kick-ass, amazing women.
Yeah, I absolutely love The Descent. It's one of my favorite films. And I actually was just talking with Reva, my co-host, about, you know, the title character. And I usually tell people a lot that they probably, at least here in the U.S., didn't see the original ending for the film, because the U.K. got a different cut than we did, because I guess U.S. audiences, it wasn't hopeful enough that
that other scene was in there, which I'm like, come on, y'all. it's after finally getting a chance to see it, because obviously I didn't even know about it initially. I was pleasantly surprised, and I thought, you know what, it's the better ending. So, I want more people to know about it, so I talk about it all the time. So if you don't know, please go to YouTube and look up UK ending The Descent, and you'll get the actual like extra 5 minutes of the film that us in the US did not get. But so is there a word of advice that you would want to leave with other, female horror creators, especially those trying to really carve out a space for themselves in the horror community or industry?
Yeah, it sounds really cliche, but I would just say, if you're just looking to start to get into horror, just do it. I think this is, it's a really good time for women to be getting into it as well, because it's always been, white male dominated and all that kind of thing. But I think that more and more women and minorities and diversities are all coming through now, and they're being welcomed. So as well as a woman, just use your experiences as well, and don't be afraid to go extreme. That's the one side of horror that I really enjoy, is the most extreme and splatterpunk kind of horror that you can find. And there's not that many women writers historically that write that kind of thing, but there's more and more of us that are coming on board now and not afraid to write about things like even just like using periods within your story and whatnot. That makes it extreme, and there's always been this kind of controversy about things like that, and that if you're a woman and you're writing about pregnancy or something like that, it will be from a, oh, isn't that lovely, she's a mother kind of view. But actually there's women that write about it all going horribly wrong and maybe end up eating the fetus or something like that. So just don't be afraid to experiment. Use anything that you have as a feat, because anything that a man can do, a woman can do within horror as well. Just do it.
Do you have any feelings in particular about revenge horror?
I actually like revenge horror, sort of the things like Last House on the Left. Recently, it's actually called Revenge, isn't it? The one that's on Shudder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She gets her own back and all that kind of stuff. And I think that those kind of films, because they show the woman getting her revenge and all that kind of stuff, and that's great. But what about a film or a story where she manages to do all of that before she goes through, so it can be that a few guys get together and they want to do all these horrible things to her, but before she has to go through all of that, can she flip then and get rid of them? That would be nice, I think, as well.
Yeah, and I think at that point, maybe we're playing into like that psychological horror space where there's enough intuition that has happened at that point for the female lead character to flip it around, and maybe they're playing a mind game, or it's like, well, you're trying to manipulate me, but I'm gonna turn that on you. And I actually think that's really interesting, and I think maybe there's a couple films where something like that has happened. I can't pinpoint one in my mind right now, but I think it's something I definitely love to see more. It's like, well, maybe we don't have to see this horrible act taking place, and it doesn't have to happen yet. It's maybe she can find out that someone's planning this to do this awful thing and figure out how to stop it before it starts. One more thing. Is there anything else in horror that you'd like to see more of?
So I was thinking about diversity within horror, and some of the recent films that I've been watching have been things like Get Out and His House. I don't know if you've seen either of those. Get Out is amazing anyway, but His House has got, it's on Netflix, and it's got some refugees from Sudan that come over to Britain and all of the things that they experience. Obviously, they've been through a horrendous war and everything anyway, and then they bring over all of that, and then also I absolutely love some of the Nordic and Scandi horror. I'm thinking of, there's a Finnish film called Lake I want to say Boden, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And then there's a Polish one called Nobody Sleeps in the Woods, which is a sort of slashery type film. And I love to see more and more of these, whether you want to call them foreign language films, or and then also the films that have got, like, the say, like the refugees from Sudan, which bring all of their own experiences as well. Just more stuff like that within horror. It doesn't, you know, just have to be kind of British or American or Australian horror. There's so much. And I think even just the settings with some of the things, like in this Finnish movie, which is set obviously on the lakes and all of the camps around it, it's terrifying. It makes me think of films like The Ritual and whatnot, where you've got, you know, just the woods to start with. As you'd said, the wilderness and that kind of thing, that's scary enough without all of the monsters the side of it.
We're joined by Vicky Clarisi, also known as Makeup Billy on Instagram. Tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do within the horror community.
So I'm legit just your basic everyday kind of person, but I make spooky masks, literally. I've been making masks for the last 9 years. I went to Vancouver Film School in makeup design because I always had this weird passion for collecting masks in high school and college, mainly Michael Myers, of course. I was like, you know what? I got to freaking learn how to do this. I like working with my hands. I was making a lot of short horror films and like diving into the whole, you know, makeup effect stuff, like homemade gelatin guts and whatnot. And then I was like, screw this, went away for school, came back to Montreal after, and I legit just kept to it. A lot of people jumped around, you know, like I worked in effect shops too, but I realized my passion is legit hiding out in my little studio, making my pieces, sharing it online. That's only been recent, so I'm stoked that you got to find me on there. And I usually go to horror cons to connect with a bunch of other horror fans and sell my jazz.
Can you tell us about how you discovered your love of horror?
Oh man. So like I have an older sister. She's 7 years older and she was always bringing home like, you know, 80s movies. I remember watching Summer School and there's that whole scene of like the two guys who are really into horror movies and effects making that whole haunted house in like the classroom and creeping out like the teachers and the principal and just being like super into it. I must have been fucking like 5, 6 years old when I saw that. And then I remember just renting on VHS The Making of Thriller, like literally on repeat, like every weekend. I was like, Dad, we gotta go back. I just fell in love with the whole behind the scenes of creating these creepy things. I've always been like intrigued by being scared, even though I'm a super big pussy. Like I've never really been to like a haunted attraction. I love creating it, you know.
So tropes are a staple of a lot of different genres within film. As far as horror tropes go, are there any that you wish would just flat out die?
I think it would be more the trope of, I'm just a really big fan of like the whole random acts of violence. Like you guys, like I'm really big into the whole serial killer thing. I love reading about that kind of stuff. And sometimes stuff really is just unexplainable random acts of violence. And I feel like the big thing is a lot of directors feel they need to explain the story. And it's like, you know what, just don't. Let our imaginations happen. Like the movie Funny Games, where you're just like, holy crap at the end. Like these dudes are just doing it, you know, just like strangers, just like, there's a lot of them where you're just like left and you just feel like, oh my God, what just happened? Those are my favorite.
What challenges, if any, have you experienced as a woman in horror?
Oh, totally. Like, there's so many stereotypes. Like, oh, you're a horror girl. You probably wear leopard pants. I'm like, shut up. I just love the 80s. It's one of those things where I think they associate it with a certain style and look. And I think that's why, oh, here's a perfect example. I'll be at a show. And I usually have one of my buddies with me, like a guy, and we'll be standing behind. So obviously I have all my masks on display, and people will always ask the gentleman behind, like, amazing work. How do you make them? And it's always like this handoff to me, like, no, it's her. And I swear to God, the faces still don't change. And it's always just like stunned because, you know, I'm a pretty, like, I'm a girl, I dress pretty tomboyish, but whatever, you know? And it's just one of these vibes of like, no, you would assume somebody creating something ugly and scary and deranged would be a masculine thing to do. But it's like, no, man, like, imaginations are endless.
Because you are a monster mask creator, do you have a favorite monster? Whether it's from a horror film or somewhere else.
I mean, I really love, and I made it myself. Like, it's one of those things where I love the movie The Thing. And I love all the creatures in there are awesome. Like the dude with the little spider legs and like the shapeshifter one that I made. Like, I love all those monsters in that film. I don't know if that answers that well. I think he did such a character creation, like, great job. Like, Rob Bottin was a freaking genius.
What do you want to see done next in horror?
More horror movies that, like, deter from that whole Hollywood narration, you know? I'm like, bring back the David Lynch vibes, bring back the focus on creating an ambiance, creating like an entire environment that makes you uncomfortable. I think that would be sick, you know?
What is a word of advice you'd like to leave for women in horror, specifically within your industry, special effects makeup?
I would definitely say put yourself out there. I think a lot of people, and including me, it took me a while to finally get the balls to put my stuff online because you have that fear of rejection. Maybe people won't like my art. But man, be persistent. Post your stuff. If you love what you're doing, people love it back. I think that's a huge thing. And we all get stuck as creators in this moment of we want things to be perfect before we release it to the public, to the masses. And it's like, who cares, man? If you love it, just post it.
Our next guest is founder of Kai FX Horror Group, host of Monstrosity's Voice podcast, and special effects makeup artist, Taija Fields. Welcome to Slay Away. Tell us a little bit more about you and your role within the horror community.
Okay, cool. So my name is Taija Fields, Kai, pronoun she, they. I am the owner and founder of Kai FX Horror Group, which is a multimedia platform, pretty much just like this area of inclusion for BIPOC, queer and disabled horror content creators. And speaking on the content creature features, what I do is I interview these content creators from all across the country and just give them a platform to talk about why they love horror, what started their spark in horror. I'm also the host of Monstrosity's Voice, Horrors in Touch Conversations, the podcast for Black Horror by Black Horror, where I talk about a different array of horror movies, but I try my best to kind of focus in on the Black experience in those films. Also, I do special effects makeup. So that's like a whole nother like area and realm of artistry within itself. So I really have my hands in so many different things. Right now I'm working on just getting the new season of content, creature features out on the site, working a little bit deeper on a few short films that I've been doing over the past few months with the special effects, and then a few literature, I guess, adventures that I'm on too, or that I'm like kind of working on. So yeah, I guess my role in the genre more so is just like, again, inclusion. I just want everyone to feel included. I'm Black and queer, so it's just like, hey, you already have like two strikes against you. So I just want to make sure that everyone feels included in a genre that generally would exclude someone that was like myself. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Can you tell us about how you discovered your love of horror?
It started initially, okay, so like growing up, I was really scared of like Halloween mask and stuff because my cousins and my uncles would scare me. But when I was around the age of 6 years old, I watched, and I'm telling my age too, it was when Final Destination came out. And so I watched Final Destination with my aunt, who's a big horror buff. And I still talk to her to this day. We talk for hours about horror films. And I remember watching that movie, and I remember specifically seeing Todd's death in the shower when, you know, that had happened. And I was just like, really, I was petrified, but I was also like, this is some cool shit. Like, this is great. And I remember I couldn't go to the restroom by myself for like 2 weeks. And that really like kind of sparked that. But I grew up also really religious, so I wasn't able to really express it in my household until I got like end of high school, and especially in college. I'm on my own, I'm doing my own thing. That's when the special effects kind of came about, because I've been working in the makeup industry for a very long time doing cosmetic makeup and special effects. But around my freshman year of college was when the special effects kind of really came in. And then through that avenue, I was able to really verbalize and be outwardly expressive on my love for horror. And then now it's a really big part of my identity. So, yeah.
So tell everyone about your journey into the world of special effects makeup.
I've been working for like MAC Cosmetics and all these in the industry doing cosmetic makeup for a very long time, since I was like 17 or 18 years old. And when around the time when I was like 19, I was going through a really bad breakup. And I remember my freshman year of college, this girl was like, hey, can you do like a Day of the Dead look? And I was like, oh, sure, no problem. I just look at the picture and I replicated it. And that was that. And so then my sophomore year, I went to Walmart and I saw like this zipper face, that deal, like this little set. And I was like, oh, okay, let me try to do that, you know? And so I was like kind of in a sad place in my life. And so I was just channeling all that energy into doing like makeup and like bettering my craft. And so I did the zipper face and I posted it on Instagram, and everyone like was like shitting bricks. Like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Okay. Cause I can get really shy, especially when it comes down to like getting compliments and stuff. So I'm like, oh, thanks. And so that's where it came, that sparked it. And then of course, like watching, Rick Baker and Tom Savini, Howard Berger and all of them. And then, really watching repetitively the making of Thriller. And I was like, yo, I can do this. And so that, on top of like experimenting with like little household things that I had, really sparked me getting more into special effects. So.
Do you have any female influences within the horror industry or SFX makeup, or just women in horror that you admire, or anyone that in particular is your favorite, maybe in filmmaking or somewhere else?
I love and adore Tanana Reef Du. She is an amazing horror scholar. Dr. Kenitra Brooks, who's out here in Texas, at least I think so, UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. I got to see her at a African-American Studies Symposium a few years ago, Planet Deep South, or Deep South Planet, one of those, which is pretty much just like a collective Afrofuturism studies, horror, comic kind of convention. And I got to see her and hear her speak, and she's absolutely brilliant. Ashley Blackwell's absolutely brilliant. My girl from Girl That Scary podcast, absolutely brilliant. I have so many people, so many women, especially Black women in horror that I love. Misha Green is amazing. Anita Costa is absolutely amazing. Cassie Lemons from East Bayou. There's like a whole list of women who I owe everything that I do to. So I could talk about that for hours, but there's so many women who have created this avenue and who've done this and who've started this foundation of Black women in horror, and women in horror generally, that have just kicked ass in the genre, and it's absolutely amazing. So yeah.
What is specifically that horror trope that you wish would die?
The trope that I wish would die, of course, I would have to say, is the trope of Black people dying between the first 20 minutes, because being Black, like, fuck no, dude. Like, we don't do dumb shit that they make us do in the movies. Like, no, like rationally thinking, like speaking, like, no, honestly, Black people should always live in horror movies, because just the way that we think about certain things, it's just like, no, like I would not go in that closet if I hear something. And no, I wouldn't do that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Also, another trope that I wish would die is that most of the time, it's either the final girl or the sidekick to the final girl. Her always tripping over nothing. Like, there's nothing on the ground. Why are you falling on the floor? Get up. And it's always that sequence whenever the killer or the villain is right by them and they're like, oh my God, I'm gonna fall. Get your ass up. Get up. So yeah, those are my tropes. It just grinds my gears.
Do you think the role of women behind and in front of the camera has changed at all? Are things getting better? Do you think that men are still at the helm of creation when it comes to horror?
Absolutely. You have films like Eve's Body, like American Psycho, like Jennifer's Body, you know, like the new Candyman, whenever we get the fucking movie, whenever it comes out. But we, with, you know, women, you get an opportunity to hear a different perspective and a different kind of horror that's not through the lens of a cisgendered heterosexual white man. You know what I mean? So we don't get to see it through that lens. We get to see it through so many different lenses, through so many different perspectives, because culturally and just like women are on this spectrum of just like greatness, and it's just like, here it is. So we get to get all of these different stories and different perspectives. And I just think it's like, I was doing an interview on Raw. I forgot the director's name, Julian D, something along the lines of that. But just telling that story of it's a coming of age story, but it's told through this beautiful tale of just like self-composure, and then just like understanding the animalistic like tendencies that we have within ourselves when those things are awakened, and then just like being in college and it's just so much. It's so beautiful. There's so many layers, and I feel like women in the genre have an opportunity to do those things. And then even like, I guess there's this dumbass like idea that women don't make gross horror. I'm like, have you seen American Psycho? Like,
what is a word of advice you'd like to leave with women creators, especially those trying to carve out a space for themselves in the horror community or within the film industry and beyond?
I would say that people are going to tell you to do other things, right? To take your intellect, to take your creativity into more common or normal, quote unquote, air quote type industries. But if you find something that you really enjoy, that you love, that you would do for free, continue to do it. And also to truly, truly invest and believe in yourself, even in moments when other people try to tell you what to do. That's a big thing. Like, no matter if someone's like, oh, well, you're good at this, you should do this. If you want to do something else, then fucking do what you want to do. You have one life. So if you want to be a film director, do that. You don't have to be a doctor. If you want to do, I can speak for myself. I'm an amazing horror scholar, but I'm also a great special effects artist. So getting into that, people are like, only do special effects. And I'm like, well, wait, y'all, I really love academia as well. And so I found an avenue as to where I can have both of them together. So screw what anybody has to say. If you feel something in your heart, if you feel it, then move with that, because obviously it's been given to you in your heart and your spirit for a reason. So yeah, fuck what people have to say, dude. Do your own thing. That's what I would say. Do your own thing. You have one life, it's your life, it's not anyone else's. Just do what you want to do.
We had some absolutely fantastic guests on today. So thank you so much again to Janine and Vicky and Kaija for coming on Slay Away and celebrating women in horror with us and letting us celebrate them. Thanks for slaying away with us. Until next time, stay spooky. Hey Slayers, if you liked that episode, please go and give us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate it. And be sure to go check out slayawaywithus.com for more reviews and essays on our favorite genre, horror.